We look into the Word of God today. I pray that the Lord will bless you. King of Kings, our Messiah, our Jesus, He is King of Kings. And I think more than we know, understanding that, embracing that, and walking in that, living your life with that as a reality makes all the difference. Last week, and this message is really a part two from last week. Last week we talked about the glorious power and majesty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we'll kind of continue that theme today. Oftentimes when things come in life, we struggle. If you think about how the disciples must have felt when Jesus died, they didn't understand what really was going on, most of them. And so they were asking that question, now what? What's next? What's going to happen? And we're in that same boat, aren't we, often? When we lose a job, or when we're struggling with a sin, or we're struggling to find answers, or relationships fail, and things go sideways, or our nation is upside down, we say, now what? What's going on? And so, but back to that Jesus is King of Kings, and He reigns supreme, that really is at the core of finding peace and comfort and a way forward and through to the other side. I love that hymn that we sang, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen to some pictures of that truth from Revelation. This is out of Revelation chapter 1. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Even those who pierced Him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. And John said, even so. Amen. And then in Revelation 17, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called chosen and faithful. And then finally, Revelation 19, verse 11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no one knew except Himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it He shall strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And then finally, verse 16 says, and He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written. What is that name written there? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings. And the idea of King of Kings, it elicits one of two things. For some, it's amen, right? And then for some, it's oh no. So it's for some, it's a rejoicing and a blessing when we think about the coming of Messiah, and that He indeed is King of Kings even now, a rejoicing and a blessing. And for others, it is a fear and a judgment that pierces their hearts. Well, surely for America, it should be a what? An oh no! Because it would appear that judgment is upon us. And I want you just to consider some things, because we need to be aware of the enemy and what he is doing in our land and what he is inflicting upon our culture. So let me lay that out. And this, of course, isn't everything, but this is some of the key and core things that the enemy is perpetrating upon the land that we live in and its people and their hearts. There are forces at work that seek to dismantle the very core values and fabric that built up America and made her strong. There are strategies being used to delegitimize our Judeo-Christian past in order to make a way for a holy, secular, and godless society. There are harmful cultural ideologies that are keeping the races in perpetual, endless conflict. The growing trend is to stifle and shame those who uphold conservative or Christian worldviews. There is manipulation and propaganda being used to shape our culture's perception of reality, so they will not change their minds. Even when confronted with clear and compelling counter-evidence, they don't see it, they won't see it, they refuse to see it. School curriculum and popular culture are leading our children into sexual confusion and sexual chaos and giving them warped ideas of personal identity. Socialism is being portrayed as some kind of utopia and capitalism as something just abhorrent and evil. Radical Islam and radical secularists are fighting together, in a sense, side by side, against Christianity, against capitalism, and against the rule of law. Disagreements today are no longer resolved with mutual respect and civility, but by intolerance, by shaming, by shutting you down, and by shutting you up. God's design of gender and our history in general is being erased before our very eyes. And finally, the most innocent among us are being murdered. More than 60 million sweet, innocent little babies since the 1970s. So America should be saying, King of Kings, oh no! But they're not, are they? Why not? Because they're blinded and they're oblivious and they're in rebellion. For the followers of Messiah, the woes and judgment upon America, they do not change our primary calling. And that is really at the crux of what I want to share with you today. All those things I listed can cause us to say, now what? What do we do? What's going on? Just like the disciples did when Jesus died. But when they realized finally that he was still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we look at all these things and we can step back and say, he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it is in that place where we truly do understand and embrace and walk in that we can move forward with victory and with peace and even with joy. Primary calling, Matthew 28, we know this text, many of you do well, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. Amen. And that is the core that we're called to. That is the thing. But all this stuff can sideline us, can sidetrack us if we're not careful. He is still King of Kings. And it says all authority is given unto him. And he has given us authority. And more than that, he has commanded us to speak and live truth in the face of all this chaos and nonsense that we're confronted with day after day in our country. But we cannot cower to the challenge of radical living, to speaking truth. We cannot cower in the face because nothing, in a sense, nothing has changed, right? Despite the culture, God is still sovereign. He still wields his will. We are still called to obedience and holiness and sharing the gospel and teaching truth. That has not changed. Everything else is going sideways and blowing to and fro, but Jesus is still King of Kings. Our calling is still sure, steadfast, and true, and we have to follow that. Why don't we do a better job of that? What's your issue? What's my issue? Well, for some of us, we love our comfort. Oh, we love
of our comfort. I have a lazy boy rocker recliner at home, and I crank that baby back. It pops me back, and I'm sitting there, and you know what? I could just stay there forever. Or we love our stuff, right? And we want more stuff. We love our lives more than truth. How could that be? That is the evidence of our lives, though, often. We love our lives more than we love God's truth. So often, we're just not willing to carry our cross, to lay down our life, to truly surrender to the cause of Christ, to accept Him as King of Kings. We ought to have the authority that Christ talked about for Himself, and we ought to be speaking God's truth with boldness, with authority, and humility. Because really, when you think about it, it should not be a powerful motivator to the people of God if someone says to us, you know what, if you don't shut up, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to kill you. That should not be a powerful motivator to the people of God. Because why? Because we have already died. We were buried and resurrected in the newness of life. We've died to all this, and we're living to what's coming. And so the threats and the chaos, they should not affect us to the degree that the world would like it to affect us. And when the government says, you're going to jail if you don't shut up, our response should be like the recent epic response of Pastor John MacArthur in Southern California when he said, well, good then. I've always wanted to have a jail ministry. This will give me opportunity, right? God bless that man. I appreciate his standing tall in the face of a lot of pressure. How about John the Baptist? You know, went to the leaders of the day and he said, you know what? You have no right. You're with your brother's wife. That's against God's will. That's wrong. That's evil. That's sin. Stop. Well, John lost his head, didn't he? Yeah. Are we willing to stand tall and speak truth, even if it means losing our heads or being canceled on Facebook or being canceled by the culture or whatever? Nothing has changed. Jesus is still King of Kings. If you've died with Christ, if you've been raised from the dead, this life and all its stuff should have no power over you. So quit, my friends, quit clinging to it, right? Quit being consumed by it. Because it is then and only then, when you quit that, that you can have the boldness and the courage to tell the truth. Quit giving power to the god of this age, Satan. Quit bowing at the altar of pride and selfishness and greed. For probably a lot of us, our life is about our stuff. Getting more stuff. Improving our stuff. Maintaining our stuff. Do you think when Jesus Christ returns, He's going to look you in the face and say, brother, sister, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And wow, love your stuff. That's fabulous. Nice stuff. That's not going to happen, is it? He's not concerned with our stuff, our junk. We are far too afraid of people not liking us. Since when is the culture supposed to like us, love us? Think of our Lord Jesus. He was called what? A glutton, among other things, a drunkard, a false prophet, and even demonic, right? Well, maybe we need to follow in His footsteps. In the book of Acts, the disciples were told to shut up, to quit preaching in His name. What did they do? They turned around, they went right back in, and went right back to it. Are we willing to do that? Are we ever so careful? And I know some are not, because I see it, and they can be coarse and rude and angry, you know, on the internet with posts and things. But I think in other ways, we need to be much more bold and courageous and truthful and not be so worried. We can do all of that while being kind and loving too. And That's where we get in trouble. We speak the truth in love. That is what God has called us to do. Maybe we need to follow in the steps of the disciples, certainly in the steps of Messiah, maybe in the steps of John the Baptist. Are we willing to do that? They said, we're going to obey God rather than men. Is that what you say? We're going to obey the King of Kings rather than the culture. Is that what you say? Maybe you say it silently under your breath, but are you willing to stand up tall and say it, no matter the cost? In the light of eternity, staying faithful and true to Messiah, no matter what we face, that is true victory in a sense. And here are some of Revelation's promises to the overcomer, the one who's fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings, and he's going to follow him no matter what. Here's what lies ahead. Revelation says he will eat from the tree of life in God's paradise. He will not be harmed by the second death. He will receive the promised manna and the white stone with a special name. He will have authority over the nations. Jesus will clothe him in white garments, and he will not blot out our names from his book of life, and he will confess us before the Father and his angels. Jesus will make us strong supports in his temple where we dwell forever. He will write on us the name of God and of the New Jerusalem and his own new name. Jesus will seat us with him on his throne just as he overcame and sat with his Father on his throne. We will worship before God's throne. We will inherit the perfect new creation, and God will be our God, and we shall be his sons and his daughters. That is what lies ahead for those who are faithful and true and follow him to the very end at all costs in every way. Remembering these promises, I think, about the future can often give us strength in the moment to endure these temporary tests in the present, right? The early Christians, I'm so astounded by them. They were revolutionary in spirit and heralds of the last judgment and the coming transformation, the coming of Christ. And they had to be ready for martyrdom at all times. They knew not what lie ahead. And their witness was, in a sense, they were constantly being sentenced to death or near death by the state, by society, but they were ready to die for their faith. So impressed, so challenged by the early Christians. But for all of us, in a sense, victory is in our blood too, spiritually speaking. And that is why over and over again in the book of Revelation, Jesus gives promises to those that have overcome, to the victors. And it's this Greek word, nikon, which is translated him who overcomes. And we find that overcoming, that victory in Jesus, the King of Kings. And we are expected, we are called to, we are empowered to be overcomers. Listen again to some of the glorious promises from our Lord. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. We talked about that in the paradise of God. And if you go through a lot of these, it's just, and I read some of these are repeats, and so I'm not going to read them again, but you begin to go through all the things that the Lord is preparing for us, the things, his promises that he has for us in the here and now too, but in the forever and ever, amen, as well. It is such a glorious thing, and it is such a motivator, and it brings us such peace, and it shows the love of the Father, all this provision that has come to us through the Son and his resurrection and him being King of Kings. We have overcome because he overcame. His victory is our victory, and you can be quite sure that Jesus is not threatened, will not be threatened by any government or culture or any antichrist or anything, the government or anything else. Nothing has changed. He remains King of Kings.
If we note how all this comes to a climax in Revelation 21, it speaks of the glories of the New Jerusalem. And then it states, this is Revelation 21:7, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire, which is the second death. We look at all these things, and nothing has changed. Jesus is still King of Kings. And yes, America is struggling, and it appears that judgment is upon us. And we don't know what lies around the corner. We don't know what 2021 or 2022 or any other year coming year will bring. But we do know that Jesus is King of Kings. But it's not all bad news. I want to encourage you a little bit. There are some incredible things going on around the world. I want to mention a couple of those things to you. But I think even in the here and now, we've been talking about this. We have been given such opportunity because there are so many people that are floundering, that are struggling with the economy, with COVID, with this, with that, and they're all over their place, and they have so many questions. Colleen had a lady come in. She manages apartments, and she had a lady come in, and the lady said, "Yeah, you know, I accepted Christ as my Savior, but I didn't make him my Lord years ago, and I lived a life of debauchery. I partied, but you know, this last year, I've been shook to my core, and I realize that I have just walked away from him, and I am telling you now, I love him. And I want him, and I'm striving my best to follow him." And she's just, Colleen said, she was just so in love with Jesus, and it was a beautiful. I think there's a lot of people out there that, because of what's going on in our culture, are ripe for the harvest, and that's where you come in. That's where I come in, right? They're waiting for us. They're waiting to see our example. They're waiting for us to come to them, to love them, to show them truth, to study with them, to lead them to Jesus Christ. They're waiting. So here are some of the things, though we can get so down with what's going on in America, here's some, it's not all bad news, here's some things going on around the world. Let me list just a couple of them to encourage you, right? The number of Christians in Indonesia has grown from 1.3 million 40 years ago to 11 million today. That said, 76,000 villages in the country, 50,000 are without a church. This is from Operation World. If Bible translation had continued at its historic pace, providing a Bible in everyone, in every people group's heart language would have been accomplished in 2150. But thanks to God and working through Wycliffe Vision, the vision is for Vision 2025. The work has been accelerated by over 100 years. And now, at this pace, they believe they will have the Bible translated into those languages by 2042. The Jesus film has been translated into nearly 1,000 languages, and over 200 million have indicated decisions for Christ as a result of the film. That's from Campus Crusade. No Christian was officially allowed to live in Nepal until 1960. Now there is a church in every one of its 75 districts in Nepal, with estimates of over 500,000 believers. That's from Operation World. About 500 Muslims come to faith in Christ every month. 500 every month in Iran, a country ranked among the top 10 persecutors of Christians in the world. Many of the new believers are young, since 70% of Iran is under age 30. That stat is from Vision 2020. Every day, 20,000 Africans come to Christ. Africa was 3% Christian in 1900, and now it is over 50%. In 1900, Korea had no Protestant churches, and the country was deemed impossible to penetrate. Today, Korea is 30% Christian with 7,000 churches in Seoul alone. And several of these churches have over a million members. And finally, I'll share this last one with you. There are currently 60 to 80 million Christians in China with between 10,000 and 25,000 new converts every single day. That's from Open Doors. He is still King of Kings, is he not? And that should give us great hope. Great hope. And it calls us as well to live godly lives with the hope of his appearing. And that message of living godly lives and fulfilling his calling and having that hope is so central to all the many of the scriptures that talk about the second coming. And I want to share a couple of those with you. Titus 2 invites us to live in a way that is self-controlled, just, and God-fearing as we wait for the return of Christ, our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3 urges us to live as blameless, God-fearing people, consecrated to Him in light of the fact this world will pass and a glorious new world is coming. Matthew 24 warns us to humbly serve our fellow servants rather than to lord it over them, since we will all answer to the Lord. He's coming back. Bearing in mind the coming day, we should stay awake spiritually and walk in the light. Romans 13, 12. Paul expects the Lord to confirm believers blameless to the very end. We should live, this is 2 Corinthians 5, we should live in righteous ways with our bodies because God will raise our bodies and judge us for the deeds done in our bodies. These are all out of Scripture. I won't list all the Scriptures, but the day of Christ's judgment will evaluate and expose whether we have built our deeds on Christ, and so will determine our reward. We should live for heavenly rather than earthly values because we wait for the Lord's coming from heaven to transform us, our minds, hearts, and bodies. In light of Christ's public revelation and the promise that we will be revealed with Him in glory, we should put to death the wrong desires that rear up in our flesh. We will be rewarded at Jesus' coming. We pray to have hearts that are blameless in holiness in God's sight at Jesus' coming with His consecrated ones. On account of the coming day of the Lord, we must endeavor to remain vigilant, self-controlled, ready in faith and love and salvational hope. Like Timothy, we should observe the Lord's teaching blamelessly until Jesus' public appearing, His second coming. Paul charges Timothy to preach and teach faithfully in light of Christ's appearing, His kingdom, and His judgment of all. We should endure faithfully to the end. Faithfully to the end, in view of Christ's promise coming to save believers and destroy those who turn away from Him. Many heroes of the faith have suffered for the sake of the promised reward. The ultimate example is Jesus, who likewise received reward after He endured suffering, and we as well will share in His suffering. That's our calling anyway. This is Hebrews 11. We can emulate the commitment of those who have endured torture for their faith, persevering in view of their reward at the coming resurrection. Hebrews 12, 14. Without holiness, being set apart for God, no one will see the Lord. James 5. We should endure present sufferings because we know the Lord is coming soon. James 5. We must not grumble against one another since true judgment is coming and will evaluate us all, right? We persevere through testing, bearing in mind our promised end-time salvation and the inheritance that is now reserved for us when Jesus' public return comes, His second coming. 1 John 2:17, this world is passing away, but whoever does God's will remain forever. We must remain in Him so that when He appears publicly at His coming, we will not be ashamed as we stand before Him. Amen. A couple more. We must purify ourselves because when Jesus appears, we will see Him fully and be so transformed into His likeness. And whoever has this hope purifies himself or herself just as He is pure. We should remain alert as we anticipate Jesus' coming. And finally, Jesus' coming brings his reward for our deeds. Revelation 22. King of kings, King of kings. Our interest cannot be just about collecting things or being consumed with stuff or being entertained or competing with our neighbors or making our work days survivable or tolerable. That is not what life is about. We should desire to invest in things that really count, things that are eternal. In whatever spheres of life that God has placed us in, we should be diligent and intentional, serving the Lord and celebrating our hope and allowing Him to well up within us and shine through us to those that are around us, allowing Him to be King of kings in our own minds and hearts and lives and attitudes and marriages and children and church, right? King of kings. And so finally, we come back to Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded, that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." And again, I challenge you, that authority that Christ has, in a sense, has been delegated to us, that we are to go forth and make disciples, baptizing, teaching, sharing truth and love. So yes, America is in trouble, probably much more than we realize. And maybe judgment, the judgment of God is coming upon us, maybe much more than we realize. But our calling remains. Nothing has changed in that sense. Our Lord Jesus is still King of kings. I'm going to ask if you would just bow with me as you think about the scriptures we read and the things that have been said, and I pray that you would allow God's Spirit to speak to you, to challenge you, to see what's happening around us, to see what's happening in your own heart and life. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our nation. We ask that you would rebuke our enemy, but Lord, we know that we may be under your judgment as a nation. Father, help us to not be sidetracked or sidelined from the opportunity that that may give us in sharing the gospel to those that are so bewildered, that are lost, that are fearful, that are struggling, that are looking for answers, that are broken and hurt. Lord God, help us to reach out to them and do all that we can to come alongside them and usher them into the arms of the King of Kings, our Savior Jesus. Father, help that to happen. Lord, we are encouraged to hear all that you have prepared for us, all that lies ahead. Much of it is beyond our wildest dreams, our imaginations. But Lord, we know it will be grand, that it will be glorious. And we yearn for that day. We hunger for that day of your second coming and your return. But Father, even more than that, I'm praying today that as the church, as your people, that we will be fulfilling the calling of our lives and of this generation that you've placed us in. Lord, let us not be apathetic, so consumed with the future or in bondage to the past, that we will miss all the opportunities to give you glory, to give you praise, to help others to know you. Father,
we stand today asking that you would help us to live lives of truth and love. Help us to be bold and courageous, to walk in your authority. Father, help us to be your people, no matter what is going on, Lord. We declare today that you are indeed, Father, your Son is indeed King of Kings. And we're praying that he would be the King of our life, the King of our mind, the King of our heart, the King of our home, the King of this church. Father, help that to happen. That is our desire. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you and go with you. And every moment, remember, Jesus is King of Kings. God bless you.